Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Ignite potential today. Thank you to each of you who has contributed, and to those who haven't yet, please consider making a gift to support Tardi Mechanach Yomi today. As I open each Zoom Siyum, we are a community of learners, looking at the names and places, knowing that each one of you is committed to learning and growing is inspiring. May it bring Hashem nachas and be a schus for you and your families and our community during these turbulent and challenging times. May Hashem bring peace to our land and world, return the hostages, protect our soldiers, heal the wounded, and return our displaced families to their homes. Before you move on with your day, consider supporting the OU Women's Initiative campaign. And if you have already given, share the link with friends and family. Upreaching.com/OU/WI giving to ignite potential. Your learning, your leadership, our community. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be learning Malachim Beis Perek Zion, Chapter 7. Yesterday's parak left us in suspense. Yehoram and his assassin had arrived at the home of Elisha to murder him. Tragically, our history includes murders like this. Izebel and her massacres of Nevi'im, later Yoash murdering Zechariah, Menashe murdering the Nevi Yeshaya. So Elisha is in real danger. In verse 1, Elisha speaks, Vayomer Elisha, Shimu Dvar Hashem! Ko Amar Hashem Ka'es Machar Sa'asoles B'Shekel V'Sa'atayim Sa'orim B'Shekel B'Sha'ar Shomron. Elisha says, hear now the word of God. So says God, this time tomorrow, a Sa'ah, a fine flour of wheat, will cost 1 shekel, and 2 Sa'ahs of barley will cost 1 shekel in the marketplace of Shomron. What is the meaning of this? Well, if today they are selling donkey heads for 80 silver pieces, and tomorrow you can buy a bag of flour for 1 shekel, that can only mean one thing. Somehow, the famine will be over tomorrow. Amazing, miraculous words. But in verse 2, a high-ranking officer begins to mock. Vayan hashalish asher lemelech nish'an al yado es ish ha'elokim. A general who the king leans on his hand, responds to the man of God, by Omar, and he says, Hine Hashem oseh arubos b'shamayim? Is God going to make windows in the sky? Hayihi yehadavar hazeh? Will this thing be? Vayomer, Elisha says to him, Hincha ro'eh be'enecha u'misham lo sochel. Behold, you will see with your eyes, but from there, you will not eat. What was the general saying? Will Hashem open the windows of the sky to finally send down rain? It hasn't rained in so long. And even if it does rain today, how can that mean that there will be flour tomorrow? Or will Hashem open up windows in the sky and throw food down? How is such a thing even possible? These are not only extremely disrespectful words about a prophet and his prophecy. In this case, it was truly dangerous. Remember, Yehoram's sword is on Elisha's neck. And Elisha had said, don't kill me. The famine will end. There will be food tomorrow. These words of mockery are basically telling Yehoram, ignore his words. They can't come true. Kill Elisha. We will follow that story later, but for now. In verse 3, the Navi tells us about 4 people with tzoras who are outside the city gates because of their tzoras, and the Pasuk records their conversation. Ma anachnu yoshvim po ad masnu? Why are we just sitting here until we die? And in verse 4, im amarnu navo ha'ir v'hara'av ba'ir v'masnu sham v'im yashavnu po v'masnu. Va'ata lechu v'nepla al machane aram im yichayunu nechya v'im yemisunu v'masnu. If we say we should go into the city, well, the famine is in the city. We will die there. And if we stay here, we will die. And so now, let us go and surrender to the camp of Aram. If they let us live, we will live. And if they kill us, we will die. Who were these Mitzoraim, these Jews with Tora'as? Amazingly, the Gemara Sota tells us this is Gehazi and his sons. They will be the focus of this chapter. So they have their plan. They're going to surrender. And in verse 5, they take their white flags and Vayakumu Baneshef, they get up in the evening, Lavo al Machana Aram, to go, to arrive at the camp of Aram. Vayavo akte Machana Aram, and they arrive at the edge of the camp of Aram, Vihine Ein Sham Ish. And behold, there is no one there. The entire camp of Aram is empty. Where were they? Answer, Hashem had made a miracle. Hashem doesn't actually need an army to chase away an army. In verse 6, we get the backstory. Vahashem hishmia es machane Aram kol rechev kol sus kol chayil gadol. Hashem had made the camp of Aram hear the sounds of chariots, the sounds of horses, the sounds of a heavy army. Vayomru ish elachav. And one man said to the other, Hine sachar aleinu melech Yisrael es malchei hachitim ves malchei mitzrayim lavo aleinu. The Jewish king must have hired the kings of Chitim, the kings of Egypt, to come on us. And in verse 7, Vayakumu vayanusu vaneshef. So what the Arami soldiers had done was get up and flee that evening. Vayazvus ahalehem ve'esusehem ve'eschamorehem. And they abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, hamachane kasherhi, the camp just as it was. Vayanusu el nafsham, and they fled for their lives. The Malbim notes that it actually made no sense to leave their horses and donkeys there. It would have been faster to ride them out. But Hashem made these imaginary armies sound so close that the army soldiers feared that their only hope for survival is if they left all their belongings behind, so that the attackers would get busy and distracted with the gold, silver, animals, and the Arami army would have time to get away. And so they left their tents, their animals, and their food behind. And in verse 8, Vayavo'u ha-mitzora'im, these lepers arrived at k'tzeh ha-machan, at the edge of the camp. Vayavo'u el-ohel achad, and they get into one tent. Vayochlu vayishdu, and they eat and they drink. Vayisu misham kesef v'zahav u'bgadim, and they carry out from there silver, gold, and clothing. Vayalchu vayatminu, and they go and they hide it. Vayashuvu vayavo'u el-ohel achar, and then they go into another tent. Vayisu misham, and they carry out from there. Vayachu vayatminu, and they go and they hide it. Okay, let's look at this a little more closely. Gehazi and his sons were starving. Was there anything wrong with eating and drinking? Of course not. But what should they have done next? Run back and tell everyone. Aram is gone. There is food. We are all saved. But they didn't. Instead, they start to look for and hide for themselves gold and silver. Once again, Gehazi is tested with money. Last time, he chose money, even at the cost of stealing and Chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name. And this time, it is at the price of people's lives. In our chapter, Gehazi is given a chance to prove that he has grown and that he has found room to think about others. His brothers and sisters are literally dying of starvation. There is absolutely no food. And Gehazi and his sons, they busy themselves with getting and hiding as much money as they can. Finally, one of them says in verse 9, Vayomer ish el re'ehu, one says to his friend, Lo chein anachnu osim, we are not acting correctly today. Hayom hazeh yom bisorahu, today is a day of news. Va'anachnu machshim, and we are being quiet. V'chikinu ad or haboker, if we wait till the light of morning, umitza'anu avon, sin will find us. Va'ata l'chu v'navo v'nagida beis hamelach. Let us go, let us arrive and tell the house of the king. But even here, Rashi says, they were only scared of getting into trouble. They understood that if the king will find out that there was food here all night and that we knew about it, we will be found guilty. We will be punished. So let's go and tell the king. And so in verse 10, they go to the gatekeeper of the town of Shomron. Vayavo vayikru al shoar ha'ir. They go and they call out to the gatekeeper of the city. Vayagidu lahem lemar. And they tell them, saying, Banu al machana Aram, vihine ein sham ish, v'kol adam. We arrived at the camp of Aram, and there is no one there, and there is no human voice there. Kiim hasus asur, v'hachamor asur, v'ohalim kasher hema. There are only horses tied up, donkeys tied up, and the tents left as it were. Of course, the gatekeepers go straight to the king and inform him in verse 11. Vayikra shoarim vayagidu beis hamelech panima. They tell the king inside. But who is this king? It's Yehoram, and we know him quite well. Verse 12. Vayakam hamelech laila. The king gets up at night. Vayomer alav adav, and he says to his servants, Agida na lachem es asher asu lanu Aram. I will tell you now what Aram did to us. Yad'u ki re'evim anachnu. They know we are starving. Vayetzu min ha'machana lehechabe basadeh lemar. So they have left their tent, their camp, to hide in the field, as if to say, ki yetzu min ha'ir v'nitzpesem chayim. When the Jews leave the city, we will capture them alive. Ve'el ha'ir navo, and then we will come to the city and take it over. Yehoram is sure this is all a trap, basically forbidding anyone from going. Now, this would be a reasonable concern, except remember what Elisha has said only a few hours earlier? Hashem says tomorrow there will be food, so much food that the prices will fall. And you didn't believe then. You couldn't figure out how that would be possible. This is miracle 16. It's time to start believing. And, as has been a recurring theme in our Sefer, a wise servant speaks up in verse 13. Vayan echad me'avadav vayomer, v'yichuna chamisha min asusim ha'nish'arim asher nish'aruba, hinam kechol ha'hamon Yisrael asher nish'aruba, hinam kechol ha'mon Yisrael asher tamu, v'nishlecha v'nir'eh. One of the servants responds and says, could we take 5 horses that remain, that are still here? They are like the rest of the Jewish people that remain. They are like the rest of the Jewish people that have already died. Let us send and let us see. The servant is saying more than he needs to in order to make a point. You are worried that it is too dangerous to send people to see if this is a trap? You are worried about putting lives in danger? They are no less in danger right here in Shomron. We are all in danger of starving to death. Look at how many people are almost dead. Look at how many people have already died. Are you really risking anything? And so in verse 14, Yehoram does finally give permission to send a chariot of 2 horses to check out the report. And they find in verse 15 that the entire road to the Yarden is filled with clothing and vessels strewn on the ground that Aram had thrown in their hurry to escape. So these messengers return and they tell the king. And then in verse 16, those who had the strength to get all the way to the camp of Aram to bring back food and sell it. And the nevuah comes true exactly as Elisha had said. 1 sa'ah, a fine flour of wheat, costs 1 shekel, and 2 sa'ahs of barley cost 1 shekel, just as Hashem had said. And then in verse 17, remember the general who had mocked Elisha? Remember the general who Elisha had said would see the food and not get to eat it? Yehoram placed him in charge of the marketplace, maybe to collect taxes, maybe to control the mob of starving people. But there were so many starving people that there was a stampede. And in verse 17, Vayirmesuhu ha'am b'sha'ar vayamos. the nation trampled him at the gates, and he died. Kasher diber ish ha'elokim, as the man of God had spoken. Asher diber beredes ha'melech elav, when he spoke, when the king had gone down to him. The final three verses of this chapter repeat and emphasize this was not a natural event, but a prophecy that came true. One lesson we can glean from this chapter is that when we return to Hashem, how quickly Hashem turns everything around for his children. All the tragic suffering in chapter 6 in one moment disappears. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot Esther Oppenheimer Alea HaShalom and Sarah Schenker Alea HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.